You can turn to Isaiah chapter 42. I am still on the doctrine of election, but now we have come to election's grand original. I started that, I believe it was last week, wasn't it? Election's grand original. Now let me reiterate that the Lord Jesus Christ, now it's not the Lord. Let me just say that the Lord, that is the Messiah, that is the second person of the Godhead, that's God the Son, was not predestinated. He is eternal.
Yes, sir.
He wasn't predestinated to exist. But the Lord Jesus Christ, that is that man whose name was called Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ was chosen and predestinated as truly as we are.
Yes, sir.
Isaiah 42 is, of course, the prophecy where God, through Isaiah, says to us, behold. That's the first word there. Behold. In other words, see. That's what it means. Take. And it's much more than a passing glance. This is to... The Hebrew would indicate along this line, I think you see that there, but to fix your eyes upon. To take far more than just a passing glance. Behold, and I want you to notice first what it says, my servant.
Yes, sir.
My servant. You remember our Lord Jesus Christ may have said these words, I come not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. Now, of course, because of this, some people say, well, see right there, he can't be equal with God. He's God's servant. And all I can say is, don't be an idiot.
Exactly.
Because our Lord didn't argue that with people, did he? There's no need for us to argue that with people. Don't be an idiot. He's speaking here in the capacity as the mediator, as the head of his people.
Yes, sir.
And it is, behold, my servant, whom I uphold. And then you see that next phrase, that next two words, mine elect.
Yes. Amen.
In whom, and that's okay, it's put in there, but it's okay. In whom my soul delighteth.
Amen.
Now the thing about it is, God delighted in him as he was.
Yeah.
And as he was chosen to be.
Yes, sir.
And as he was predestinated to be. God did not choose us in ourselves, did he? And he did not delight in us in ourselves. He chose us in this chosen one.
Exactly.
You see, it's because the scripture says it this way, Christ being called mine elect, that is God's elect, in whom my soul delighteth, herein is the statement of election's grand original. It is God's grand original in its first and highest order. Here is the one God chose for himself.
Amen.
In himself.
Yes.
As himself.
Exactly.
This is the highest order. Of course, Matthew chapter 12, and I'm not going to read it, verses 14 through 21 mainly, lets us know, without question, God Almighty says this is Jesus Christ. That's who Isaiah meant. That's who Isaiah was speaking of. That's who Isaiah wrote concerning, and that's who God meant when he said, behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth.
Yes.
Then we go on over to, what is it, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6. It tells us quite clearly that our Lord Jesus Christ, 1 Peter 2 and 6, also 1 Peter 1, verses 18 through 20, our Lord Jesus Christ is elect and precious.
Amen.
Peter also says of our Lord Jesus Christ that he was foreordained before the foundation of the world.
Yes, sir.
But was manifest.
Yeah.
You see it? But was manifest in these last times for what? For you.
Amen.
For you. Now let me say again. And I'll give you this statement. I told you I would probably repeat this statement and kind of build upon it a little here and there, but remember, the eternal God in the person of the Son purposed for himself creature existence. That is, the eternal God in the purpose of the Son purposed that one day, that is in time, he would be manifest for us, but he would actually take upon himself creature existence. Now I want you to think about this, and I have more to say about it later when we get to, God willing, Proverbs chapter 8. But the man, Christ Jesus, was created. Do you know that? He was created. The man, Christ Jesus, was created by the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin. Therefore, we see when it says he was foreordained before the foundation of the world, we see he was foreordained even as we are. Now, not in the like same way, but he was foreordained even as we are. And God purposed for himself to exist in creature form. Did he not? Sir. To actually engage in creature acts. That's creature deeds, creature works. And God Almighty purposed for himself in the person of the Son to delight in creature fellowship.
Yes.
Remember, well, not remember, but let me go back, let me just mention rather, Proverbs chapter 8, where in some of the final verses where it says of our Lord Jesus Christ, he says that he, being daily God's delight, what did he say? What was his delight? And my delight were with what? The sons of men. Wherefore, the Apostle Paul writes in Hebrews, he is not ashamed to call us brethren.
Amen.
Think about it. The eternal God, in the person of the Son, purposed for himself creature existence, creature acts, to delight in creature fellowship as the God-man. And that forever. The eternal God purposed in the person of the Son to become as the creature forever.
Sir.
Without end. Remember, it is true, our Lord Jesus Christ is now seated at the right hand of God the Father.
Sir.
In bodily form.
That's right.
So again I say, Christ being called God's elect, mine elect, in whom God's soul delighted, herein then is, we see, election's grand original. Let me say, I mean this as seriously as I can say it. We do not choose Jesus.
Exactly.
I used to say that. I used to actually quote our Lord and then turn around and deny what he said. God forgive me. Because our Lord Jesus Christ told the disciples, ye have not chosen me. And I used to make up excuses for that. Well, we do choose Jesus once he regenerates us. Makes it sound good, don't it? No, see, we didn't choose Jesus. We never choose Jesus. Jesus is not our elect.
Exactly.
He's God's elect.
Amen.
We may choose to follow him, having been regenerated. We may choose to believe him, having been regenerated. We may choose to serve him, having been regenerated. But we don't choose him. And when anybody says, we choose Jesus, know this, I don't care if they're a grace person, they're wrong. We do not choose Jesus. And somebody says, well, that's a play on words. No, that's what God said. Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect. He's God's choice. Not my choice. Right? Not my choice. Christ is God's covenant. As he goes on to say here, Christ is God's covenant personified. Verse 6, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles. And not only that, according to Psalms chapter 45, verses 1 through 7, I will not stop to read that, but it's mainly in verse 7, our Lord Jesus Christ was blessed above all mankind.
Yes, sir.
As a matter of fact, let me just read that last verse. Psalms chapter 45. Verse 7, thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Now this is in his essential being.
Yes, sir.
This is not what he was brought to do. This is not what he somehow in the end came about to do. This is who he is. That can't be said of me.
Exactly.
That can't be said of you either. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, hast anointed thee with the oil of gladness. What is it? Above thy fellows. Now that's an amazing thing. He is exalted above us as a man.
Yes, sir.
But yet we're called what? His fellows.
Yep.
Isn't that something?
Yes, sir.
And again I quote Hebrews, for which cause he is not ashamed to call us brethren.
Amen.
You see, in our election in the elect one, we were chosen as members of his body. We were chosen in him as a pattern we should be conformed to. As a matter of fact, in the end, it says, the Apostle Paul, in giving instruction concerning the resurrection, says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 49, and as we have borne the image of the earthy, how fully have we done that? Completely. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Completely. As we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly.
Amen.
Somebody says, what's that mean? I don't know. And actually, we have reason to believe that even the Apostle Paul himself could not find the words to describe it. Because look at what he says. And let me find it. Start in verse 45. And so it is written, the first man Adam was made a living soul. The last Adam was made. They put that in there. And that is not true. He was not made. He is. So take that out. It's all right if you take a pencil or a pen and scratch that out. It does not exist there. It does hurt the text. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last, Adam, a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth. And then he defines it. What? Earthy. Now, what does it mean he was of the earth? He was of the earth. God took of the dust of the ground and made Adam's body out of it.
Exactly.
We'll look at that later. Because Adam was a creation of God, but he wasn't created out of nothing.
Exactly.
He was created out of something. Adam was made out of what already existed.
Exactly.
His body was made out of the earth. And he was given life to be made a living soul. It says God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, that already existent life, eternal life. And God breathed into his breath, into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So, what does it say? Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. That actually means that's why when we die, our bodies rot and go back to the ground.
Yep.
Because that is that from which we were taken.
Yep.
But look at what it says. The second man is.
Yep.
He doesn't give the same kind of illustration here, does he?
Not exactly.
The second man is what? The Lord from heaven.
Amen.
We don't know what that is, Mason. But he is the Lord from heaven. And he has a body. And it's a human body, but it's not simply a earthy body.
Exactly.
Because we've already borne the image of the earthy. And as we've borne the image of the earthy, we've already also will bear the image of the heavenly.
Yes, sir.
We will have bodies like unto his own glorious body. Now you're talking about salvation. That's salvation.
Yes, sir. Exactly.
You know that? That's salvation. Salvation is not just for me to be delivered from hell. I will never ever know what hell is actually like. Therefore, my deliverance from hell is something I can never experience. Right? But my deliverance from myself, I will experience. Being delivered from myself by nature in my fall, I can and will experience that. Just like we've borne the image of the earthy, we will bear the image of the heavenly. But let us also realize that this being conformed to the image of His Son is not something that we simply await in the future. I'll turn to Galatians. Remember, we were chosen in Him.
Yes, sir.
And as you're turning to Galatians, I will read you this one passage. It's familiar, so I'm not even going to ask you to turn to it. This is Romans 8, verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. In other words, God in Christ has a family. And just like natural families bear many of the same traits, we are bearing many of the same traits of our Lord. If I've been born of God, I must, of necessity, begin to then manifest some of the traits of that birth. That spiritual birth is not some theory. It's not just some ethereal thing that we believe in doctrine. Being born of God is a real, literal, actual event.
Yes, sir.
It's just as real as my physical birth.
Yes, I see it.
Now what I say, Galatians, right? Galatians chapter 5. For the sake of time, for right now, just verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit. Now that is, and I believe, properly capitalized there.
Yes, sir.
It's not the fruit of my spirit. As a matter of fact, by nature, my spirit is dead to God.
Exactly.
Now, it's not that man's spirit doesn't, I don't know that it doesn't exist, because Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2, what man knows the things of man save the spirit of man that's in him.
Yeah.
Man's spirit can relate to earthy things, exactly. Fallen things, yeah. Depraved things, even though we twist them to be some great righteous thing.
Oh, yeah.
But we can relate to human things, fallen things in our spirit, but we cannot relate to spiritual things. We must be given, and I'm not going to say, I'm not saying that spirit must be given life, I'm saying we must be given a new spirit, a new heart. But here, notice what we have. But the fruit of the Spirit is, what does it say? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. See, faith is a characteristic of God. Well, I like the way, as I've told you before, I like the way A.W. Pink put it. It's one of the perfections of God.
Yeah.
I love that word.
Yeah.
That's far better than one of the characteristics of God. That's just too dry and dull. You know, that's too humanistic.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, these are not human fruits. This is not the fruit of humanity. This is the fruit of God. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. But these things, amazingly, exist in us.
Yes, sir.
Although, sadly, you don't view them too often.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? They seem to be ever so fleeting and brief.
Yeah.
And the problem is, often when I think I'm meek, I realize I have not been. Because I've been proud that I've been meek.
Exactly.
So therefore, it couldn't have been meekness. Could it? You remember what Tim James says about humility? God's people don't even know what to think about that. Because when we think we are, we know we're really not. When we think we're humble, we know we're really not. But when we say we're not, we think we really are. He said, it just sounds humble to say it that way. You know?
Oh, yeah.
We boast in our humility.
Oh, yeah.
Do we not?
Yeah.
But yet, in the believer, These things exist because who exists in us? The Spirit of God.
Exactly.
He actually indwells our what? Bodies.
Yes, sir.
Therefore, these things are in me in their fullness.
Yes, sir.
They just don't get manifested in their fullness. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Now, if that weren't true, you couldn't stand me at all. Right? You wouldn't want me here in this place. And I don't mean just this place. I mean this place. I know what I am by nature, at least to some degree. And I wouldn't even have liked me years ago. Me now, to meet me years ago, would have had nothing to do with me. Me would have cast me off as a reprobate. Me now, if I met me then, I would call me an absolute total Arminian. You know why? Because I was. Huh?
Oh, yeah.
But the fact is, I am not that now. I'm not that now.
Exactly.
But why is that? It's because the Spirit of God is not only with me, but He's now in us. Right? He's in us. And just a little side point here. If anybody has faith, where did that come from?
Yeah.
Come from God Almighty, didn't it?
Yes, sir.
See, the Spirit of God has to already be with someone before they can ever have faith to believe on Christ.
Yes,
because faith is the fruit of the Spirit. Faith is not what God gives me, then I exercise it. Faith, but the fruit of one that's born of God is. Is that what that says?
No, sir.
No. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is.
Amen.
Any faith you have, it's God Almighty in you. God Almighty in you. And if you have believed and thus been sealed, it's because God Almighty is in you.
Yes.
Literally. So as He says, meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. But as Earl pointed out, another fellow often say, but it dies hard. No. If we live in the Spirit, what are we also to do?
Yeah.
Walk in it as well.
Amen.
If we live in the Spirit, let us walk. See, there is an effort here.
Yeah.
This is not just, well, whatever God wants me to do, I'm going to do. Yeah, you are.
It's exactly right.
But it's a whole lot more pleasant to do it.
Yeah.
Willingly, knowingly, actively seeking to engage in it.
Yes,
than God having to make you do it. You understand? And I figure we've all been there. There are times when God, in His mercy and grace and sovereign purpose, has made it seem as though this is just a constant flow. This is kind of the way it is. You know what I mean? You do this, you say that, you try to live this way, and David is just like, this is an easy, constant. It's so great. This service to God is such a joy and such a pleasure. Then other times, God has to get you by the collar and drag you along. On him. You have to get you by the collar and drag you along. I heard a man say something this morning. I won't tell you who said it because I don't want you to. You ought not be listening to him a whole lot, and I don't want you to know I listen to him. So I ain't going to tell you his name. You know who he is. But he talked about the Lord Jesus Christ putting forth His own sheep. You know what that word is? That's the same word when it talked about Jesus Christ casting out some people. See, sometimes Jesus Christ don't leave us in the safety of the fold. He gets a hold of us and He puts us out of the fold and puts us out into reality. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Now, that man knows nothing about the grace of God, but he made a good point there. You see, most people think about the safety of the fold. They think, well, I'm safe, I get to go to heaven.
Yeah.
Right here, right now, is about the closest we're going to get to experiencing the safety of the fold. I mean, talk about just experiencing something in your everyday life that's being with God's people, people who believe like you do, people that have like precious faith, people that have the troubles and the difficulties and the sins and the failures that you have, that are not standing ready to judge you over everything you do. Now, it doesn't mean we're going to keep quiet if you start down the wrong path. Because if you love somebody, you don't keep your mouth shut when they start down the wrong path.
Exactly.
You know, it's not your life to live. It's Christ.
Amen.
Scripture tells us no man lives to himself and no man dies to himself. Correct?
Yes, sir.
But the problem is when we leave our common fellowship here and we go out our separate ways, we are surrounded by wolves.
Yes, sir.
Not the family. We are surrounded by the enemy, not friends.
Exactly.
And it pains me so much when I hear people say it. And I know where they're trying to come from. But I'm concerned that do they really understand the truth as it would help them? Because they talk about this friend, that friend. And you meet these people and you realize this is not a friend to a believer.
Exactly.
This is not a friend.
Yeah.
You know? A friend sticks closer than a brother.
Amen.
And that's in a specific way.
Yeah.
That's when the rubber hits the road.
Yeah.
That's when you're forced to stand for the faith to which you hold and all the world comes against you and that person says, just keep on going. Keep on going. That's a friend.
Yes, sir.
But the one that says, well, you do get a little too loud sometimes. You do open your mouth a little too much. That may be true.
Yeah.
But that's not the way we encourage one another, do we?
Exactly.
See, what my encouragement to you is not, well, you open your mouth too much, so do I.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, you didn't quite walk the line like you should, neither do I.
Yeah.
Hmm? Neither
exactly.
Do I.
That's it.
And that encouragement is this, no matter how much we fall, because like Tim James says, well, what if I fall? What do you mean, what if? You will.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
What if I sin? What do you mean, what if? You will.
Amen.
All you got to do is breathe and you've sinned.
Exactly.
Right? Scripture goes so far as to say anything that we do outside of faith is a sin.
Amen.
That makes them add up in my mind. For me, I don't know about you.
Yeah.
Am I to sit here and look back over yesterday and think, did I do everything I did in faith? I know it's not so.
Exactly.
I know it's not so. But nevertheless, in spite of all of this, we are constantly being conformed to the image of His Son. What does the Apostle Paul say? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. He actually comes right out and says it. But we have the mind of Christ.
Amen.
Now we also have another mind.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we also have a fallen mind.
Yeah.
But he says we have the mind of Christ. That's why I don't think like everybody else thinks.
Exactly. That's right.
And that's why there are many things in which we think the same way together.
Yes, sir.
And that is why some people who think they think like we do, but they know they really don't.
Yeah.
They ain't a part of us.
Exactly.
Because they don't think like we think.
That's true.
You see, if you have the mind of Christ, you have to think a certain way.
Yeah.
You might not always live a certain way, but you will think a certain way.
Yes, sir.
When the Holy Spirit of us come, He will reprove the world. What's the first thing He'll reprove us of?
Yeah.
Sin. Huh? You see, God's people know what sin is. Let's not play games. Well, I just didn't know that was wrong. I would love to use a good metaphor for that, a colorful one for that. You are full of it. Well, if I'd have just known better, you did know better. I knew better.
Yeah.
Right? We have the Holy Spirit not just with us now, but in us.
Exactly.
Right? Teaching us, guiding us, leading us into what? All truth.
Amen.
When He has come, He will reprove the world of sin. Why? Because we got it.
Exactly.
Of righteousness. Why? Because we don't got it.
Exactly.
Huh?
That's it.
And of judgment. Why? Because we deserve it.
Yes, sir.
Now, I know that's not a direct quote from Scripture, but that's what He's talking about.
Yeah.
You see, God's people are both lovers and haters of sin. You know, that's what we are. We're lovers and haters of sin. We love what we hate, and we hate what we love. We can be happy in either one.
That's true.
But we cannot find complete joy in anything.
Exactly.
When I sin, I know what guilt is.
Yeah.
Do you? Sure you do. If you're in Christ, you do.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I don't have the same kind of conscience you do. You better have one. You better have one that's been made alive by God Almighty.
Exactly. That's it.
You better have one that's made alive by God Almighty. 2 Thessalonians, the text verse I began with, chapter 2, verse 14, says what? To the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's not His essential glory. I have not attained His deity. I've not attained His deity, but I have attained what? The fruit of the Spirit.
Yes, sir.
You see, these things are in us.
Yeah.
If they seem to be ever so slight. They are in us in their fullness, but they're manifested ever so slightly.
Yeah.
And also, here's another one. It's not here's another one, but it's the one I've already gave you. That as we have borne the image of the earthy, that's the glory. One day we will actually bear the image of the heavenly.
Amen.
I know men say it all the time. Oh, if we were just like Jesus, be like Jesus. I wish I could be in the way Scripture means that.
Exactly. That's it.
Well, when God saves you, everybody's going to know you're a Christian. Probably not. Probably not. There may be a few people that know something's happened to you.
Yeah.
And the more you begin to talk to them, the weirder and weirder you will become. They're not going to say, you're a Christian.
No.
They're going to say, just like they did of the Christ Himself, you're mad.
Yeah.
You need drugs.
Yeah.
You've got a devil. You're possessed.
Oh, yeah.
Won't they? That's what they said of the Christ Himself.
Exactly.
And I don't know who coined the phrase. It really doesn't matter. You know, everybody said, well, I better say that I got this from that preacher. Let me tell you, they ain't none of us that didn't get anything. It didn't come from this book, if it's of any value.
Exactly.
And I think, what was it Jim McLarty said? That we're all plagiarizing this book.
That's right.
Well, there's not a phrase I've ever uttered that I thought, boy, I come up with that. Nuh-uh. God come up with it.
Yeah.
He just happened to let my tongue say it.
Yeah.
You think of this. People say, well, let the world see Jesus in you. And it is the truth. They did not see Jesus in Jesus. They're not going to be able to see Jesus in you.
Amen.
But He is.
Amen.
You know that?
That's it.
He is. Why? Because this is what God chose.
Yes, sir.
God didn't just choose. We kind of live a good little life. We live Christians. We kind of believe a little. We go to church. We pray and we read our Bibles and we give and we support one another and we try to encourage one another and we try to warn one another. That's what needs to be. All of a sudden in the end, we just get all wake up and we go to heaven. You see, I am saved already.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
And I'm constantly being saved now.
Yes.
And one day I will finally, completely be saved.
Amen.
This is but a taste of what we have to come. But it is a taste.
Yes, sir.
It is a taste. You see, God the Father chose Christ, and He purposed His creature existence.
Yeah.
Right? And He purposed our creature existence too. It says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship. What? Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them.
Amen.
And we do, even if we don't recognize it.
Exactly.
And sometimes I'm sure we do in spite of ourselves.
Yeah.
And then sometimes we do, and God's pleased to let us see, well, you did okay in that instance. You see, it's right to love one another. And it's right to show that love. Because James says just to say it and not to show it is dead faith. Right? Oh, I love you, brother. I know you're cold and naked and hungry, but I love you, and God will provide for you. Well, take your own coat off and give it to him. Take half the money you were going to buy your groceries with and give them half. Somebody says, well, I can't do that. My own family would starve. Well, wait a minute. You're asking them. You're telling them God's going to take care of you. You don't believe he's going to take care of you? You see what I'm saying? James put it this way. You see a brother and he's destitute. He's naked. He's hungry. Be ye warmed and filled. No. Put your money where your mouth is.
Amen.
I mean, that's what James says faith does. Puts this money where its mouth is.
That's right.
If that means lying. Huh? You remember what Rahab did when them spies came along, don't you? She hid them spies, and they were up on her rooftop under a pile of flax. And the king... And what it seems to be, he sends messengers, but probably the king wasn't going in there. Although he may have been there the night before. But he wasn't going in there on his official capacity. He may have took a trip on the Appalachian Trail. But anyway, the king wants to know, where's them men? We've heard rumor those men been here. You know what she said? I seen them go that way. Huh? You know, James says that's a work that justified Rahab. Isn't that what he says?
Yeah.
What was the work that justified Abraham? He was going to kill his boy.
Yes,
wasn't he? He was going to kill that boy.
Yeah.
And I look at myself and I say, oh, what pitiful belief I see.
Yeah.
You ever felt that way?
Yeah.
Oh, what pitiful belief I see in me. Here's a woman that laid her life on the line for two strangers.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yep.
Two strangers of a strange people. But she felt an affinity to their God. And she feared their God. And she feared their God more than she did the wrath of the king.
Exactly.
Hmm? Now, according to James, that's both a faith and that is obedience that justifies. It is a genuine living faith and it is obedience that manifests a genuine and living faith.
Amen.
So again, I say God the Father chose Christ and purposed his creature existence so that as the God-man, he would exist.
Yes, sir.
And listen how it is. Colossians, about time for me to quit. Now listen at it. Verse 15, a lot of people, there has been debate about this for more than 1,000 years now. In 4 A.D., the Arian heresy came up that Jesus Christ was a created being just like we are created beings. And it was condemned. That doctrine was condemned. But yet, the words are in Scripture. Look at it, just verse 15. Who is the image of the invisible God? Hebrews says what? He is the very stamp of God. If you see Christ, you've seen God Almighty. I'm not visible. If you were here, alive, Mason, when Jesus Christ walked this earth, and you seen him with your eyes, you seen God Almighty.
Amen.
But look at what it says. Who is the image of the invisible God? The firstborn of every, what does it say? Creature.
Yes, sir.
Why? Because he did have a creature existence.
That's right.
This is what humanity struggles over, fights with. But yet, Scripture says, Psalms 89, verse 19, and then in Acts again, verse 3, chapter 3, verse 22, it states this, that Christ was what? One chosen out of the people. That's what it said. Out of the people. I think, wasn't it Stephen that told those people that God will raise up one like unto Moses out from among you? Right from among you. Our Lord Jesus Christ not only was, he is a Jew.
Yes, sir. Amen.
He had Jewish blood running in his veins.
Yes, sir.
His humanity although while created and protected by the Spirit of God, yet in that womb of the Virgin, he had creature existence through her as well also. She was his mother.
Yeah.
Right? She was his mother. He was a man. Much more so than I have ever been.
Exactly.
Much more so. Because again, he's a man. He had creature existence, and he did creature acts, and he had creature fellowship, but he was also God Almighty manifest in the flesh. He wasn't just God with human flesh. He was God Almighty manifest in the flesh. So much so that his blood is said by the Apostle Paul to have been the very blood of God Almighty himself. Isn't that amazing? You see, this is where I am so inadequate to describe the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is God Almighty becoming a man, humanity, a creature. Mason, that's beyond my verbal ability to define or explain, and even worse than that, to honor it as it ought to be honored. And I think Paul lets us know we're all in that boat, because he said, great is the mystery of godliness. Now, it's not that it's something spooky. It's not that it has no answer to it. We just don't get it. A mystery is not something that can't be known. It's something that we don't know.
Exactly.
It's mystery to us. It's not a mystery to God.
Exactly.
Great is the mystery of godliness. God was what? Manifest in the flesh.
Amen.
I can't explain that. But equally, it also says, and this is what people miss. Well, I don't understand that incarnation, but they think they understand faith really well.
Yeah.
Don't they?
Oh, yeah.
But what else does it say is a part of the mystery of godliness? Believed on in the world.
Amen.
You see, us knowing what we really are, at least having some inkling of what we really are by nature, it's amazing that we believe God.
Exactly.
It takes none other than the absolute free and reigning grace of God to bring us to that place. Not because this is so out of our bounds. That's not the problem. Men believe things that are out of their bounds all the time.
That's the truth.
Don't they? They believe lies.
Oh, yeah.
Huh? The problem is, it is so adverse and different to everything we are.
Exactly.
This book defines a God that we are completely opposed to.
Yes, sir.
You know that? This book defines to us, reveals to us, a God toward whom we have enmity.
Yes, sir.
We are that same group of folks that several thousand years ago said, let's build us a tower.
Yeah.
And let's go up to heaven and let's take over God's throne.
Exactly.
We're going to get there our way. And you know what the thing is? Everybody will stand there one day. They'll get there. Everybody will eventually. They'll get there. They will stand before God. You know that? But sadly, for some of them, it says there will be no place found for them.
Amen.
And they will then be what? Cast out. That's frightening.
Yes, sir.
You know, but one of these days, I think about this, and I can only think about it so long because it begins to send chills. I mean literal chills in my spine. You know? That for a few thousand years, it was prophesied, Messiah is coming. Messiah is coming. You know how we are. Well, they've been saying that ever since I've been alive.
Sure.
My daddy said that. My granddaddy said that. My granddaddy's granddaddy said that. And his granddaddy said that. And it ain't happened yet. But all of a sudden, Mason, you know what happened? A man called Jesus of Nazareth came on the scene.
Yes, sir.
You know? It actually happened. And Jesus of Nazareth is a historical fact.
Yes, sir.
Anybody that doesn't believe he really existed is an idiot.
Yep.
They're an idiot. And the point is, he was God Almighty manifest in the flesh. In that same manner, one of these days, God's going to wind this thing up. And I'm just going to give you just what, Tim, because I can't say it any better. The only thing that matters when you leave this world is what you can take with you. And you know there is something you can take with you.
Right.
Huh? That's Christ. That's faith. You think about it. I thought that was amazing. The only thing that matters is what you can take with you. Because once we die, we go rot.
Yeah.
You know? That's amazing. Father, I pray that you teach us concerning thy Son so many things that are beyond our human comprehension, but yet not outside of the realm of faith. Not outside of the realm of believing things that we cannot define, things that we cannot necessarily understand or comprehend, but we can believe them by thy free grace. I thank you in Christ's name. Amen.